But look at verse 8, because that's where the imperatives continue. But now you ourselves are to put off all these. There's a difference, a change here. Went from mortifying, killing, doing surgical excision, going to the great physician, say, cut that, cut that, cut that, to now a different metaphor. He says, put off all these. Paul was saying that there are certain things the Colossians must strip themselves of. The word here is actually the word for undressing or pulling off the clothes. And what he said is, it's something that is a picture from the life of the early church. In the first century church, part of the way they baptized people, and we know this from church history, when a Christian was baptized, they would put off their old clothes and would go down in the water, and when they emerged, they would put on new, pure white robes. It's kind of from Judaism. Today, they've excavated, and in fact, they're finding more and more of them, these mikvah, these purifying baths that were by the temple. In the ancient world, every temple had a bath place next to it, because when you worshiped your God, false or the true and living God, you always would wash yourself and clothe yourself with a robe to come before Him. See, even in culture is this idea of needing to be clothed with purity to come before a deity. But when the early church members got baptized, they followed much of Judaism's baptism for this purifying bath, where when you would go into the temple, you would bathe, clothe yourself with a clean robe, and go in. And so when they got baptized in Christ, they had them come in their old clothes, and they would strip those clothes off them, they'd go into the water and be baptized, and then the church would provide a new fresh robe to put on, which was a picture of the old gone and clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So he uses this word that finds itself in the literature of the early church, and he says this divesting of one kind of life and putting on another is what you are to be doing all the time, not just once when you get baptized, when you're confessing your faith in Christ. What are we supposed to be stripping off? He lists them. Look in verse 8. Anger, wrath, or NIV calls it rage, malice is the third one, blasphemy, the NIV calls it slander, and filthy language out of your mouth. Those are all under this imperative, this imperative of putting off. So what do? We say, because of Christ who died in my place, because of what he accomplished, because I was crucified with Christ, he can now strip off of me anything that grieves or quenches his working in and through me. Now, I want you to think about that. We should ask the Lord, right now, I want you to strip off these areas of my life. You struggle with anger? You don't have to. You can have Christ strip off any unbiblical anger or rage, wrath, or malice, or blasphemy, or filthy language. What are those? Let me just go through them. The first one, anger. There are two kinds of anger. There's biblical anger. There's positive anger. Jesus was angry. He got mad at the Pharisees because of the hardness of their heart. That's not sinful. To be angry at sin, it's not sinful. So there is positive anger. The problem is we're angry over the wrong things. This word orge is an anger that's become inveterate. It's a long-lasting, slow-burning anger that refuses to be pacified, that nurses wrath to keep it warm, kind of like a fire we're always stoking. You ever met someone like that? I mean, anything can make them mad. The dog can make them mad. The paper can make them mad. They threw the paper in the wrong place, or the paper got wet, or someone ruined something, or scraped their car, or they didn't get their... I mean, I just saw someone actually get angry because they said that their coffee wasn't right. And I thought, you're mad about coffee? I mean, recently, if you read the news, people kill each other over the strangest things because there is this undealt with orge, this anger that is constantly fed, and it kind of slowly burns, and then it just comes out. What do we do with that? Well, because Jesus conquered all those things, we can ask him to strip off from us that anger. I have a fireplace. I love my fire. I'm so sad. It's getting 80 outside. I still had it going today, and I thought, oh, Lord, is it really spring? You know, do I have to stop burning my fireplace, my wood? I mean, the kids help me. It's just like campfire time. You know, it's just fun. Did you know that if you keep working and you keep pushing those coals together and putting a little more wood on, you can have a 24-hour day fire in your fireplace? You know, a lot of people have anger like that. They just keep feeding it. We have to ask the Lord to strip off our ungodly anger, this wrath or rage. Anger becomes wrath when we develop an unforgiving spirit. The word thumos is a blaze of sudden anger which is quickly kindled and just as quickly dies. The Greeks likened it to fire among straw, you know, like weeds or something. Just goes like that and it's over. It quickly blazes and just as quickly burns out. For the Christian, both the burst of temper, which is wrath, and the long-lasting anger, which is the first word, both are wrong. You know, there's some people like that. They just blow up and it's all over and they're just kind of happy, friendly. They spewed out on everybody else. Both are wrong. And because of Christ's death, He can defeat any form of improper wrath. And we can say, Lord, strip off my outbursts of wrath and rage. Sometimes we don't want Him to do it because we want to get even. Or we want to stay hurt. Or we want to stay, you know, out of sorts, whatever, with people. It's us wanting Christ. He's already defeated our flesh. He's already defeated the world. He's already conquered. And He's already there to set us free. Malice, the next word. Kakia, it's another interesting word. It means viciousness of mind. Literally, it's all-pervading evil. Someone has said malice is congealed anger. That's an interesting way to look at it. You take anger and you solidify it, and there you have malice. It's an anger that's been nursed along. It's an anger that tries to get revenge and even try and harm someone else. That's the vicious side of it. And what Paul is saying is that maliciousness is like an old, dirty, filthy garment. It doesn't represent Christ. And we can't strip it off because it's part of us. See, the idea of this is not, I'm going to resolve that I'm going to take a deep breath and think of something else. I'm not going to be angry. Yeah, it works. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, half hour, who knows? But it's not what we're talking about here. This is not biblical change. That is just resolve, you know, that I'm going to be better. And malice can't be overcome by anything other than saying, Lord Jesus, right now, strip off my viciousness, my kakia, my malice that I have. You know it. I know it. I know I feed it. I don't want it. Take it away. Two more, blasphemy, or NIV puts it, slander, insulting and slanderous speaking in general. When it's directed against God, it's blasphemy, defaming the name of God, not just taking His name in vain, misrepresenting Him, hating Him, like in the death of a child, how could you do this? You know, that's a form of blasphemy, to be angry at God, and it happens. Sometimes people are overcome with situations. But it's much more likely this word, blasphemy in the context, is slanderous talk against a fellow man, a person, another believer, or anybody in general. And what he's saying is, don't slander. And because of Christ's death, He can strip off slander from us. Just bad-mouthing is the way that my parents used to go. Don't bad-mouth them, they'd say. Don't tell bad things about them. And then the last one is filthy language out of your mouth. The word is foul communication. It means abusive speech, filthy speech, obscene speech. And what he's telling them is, don't ever let yourself be clothed with these things. Don't be clothed with anger. That's a dirty garment. Don't be clothed with rage. Don't be clothed with this maliciousness. Don't be clothed with blasphemy or slander. Don't have any obscene talk. How do we do that? We say, Lord Jesus, right now, cleanse my mouth and my heart so nothing inside me is filthy. Nothing inside me is smoldering. Nothing inside me is feeding that anger or that viciousness that I want to harm someone else. It's so neat when you give vengeance to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will recompense. We can never pay people back for what they've done to harm us. And God says, I will always execute vengeance my way, my time. Give it to me. And that's why Paul could operate. He was so maligned, so harmed, so abused, so treated, and he just gave it to the Lord. But he still suffered. He says, who's suffered and not been hurt? He goes through his list. But after he felt that, after his heart or his mind or whatever was tainted and became an instrument potentially of or actually of slander or abuse, he'd say, Lord, I don't want that member. I don't want my tongue to respond that way. Do you remember when he was with the high priest and he said, "Thou whitewashed wall," and they slapped him, and you know, and he, when he heard it was the high priest, he says, "I didn't mean to do that." You saw sanctification in process right there. I mean, that high priest was a Christ dishonoring man, but Paul would not dishonor his position, and we see sanctification at place in his life. So before we go tonight, I would like to just have you bow with me, and I want to read through this. And if there's any struggle in our lives with any of these things, let's deal with it tonight before we go. If there's a struggle with sexual immorality, either in your mind or reality, with uncleanness and impurity, with passion or lust, with evil desire, with covetousness or greed, with anger, with wrath or rage, with malice, with blasphemy or slander, or with filthy language, let's do something about it.